So, but let's go ahead and jump into God's Word, because, you know, last week we had an incredible turnout at our Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you for being a part. If you were here, I trust that you enjoyed it, all except for Charlie. At the end of Thanksgiving dinner, Charlie came to me, said, "I need to file a report of a stolen item at church." Well, somebody took his brand new jacket he'd worn to church, and it disappeared. And I knew it was an accident. He did, too. He jokingly, and he came to me. So a couple days later, he said, "Did you hear anything?" "Oh, no." I sent the email out. I came in Tuesday, and it's hanging in the back there. Somebody brought it back. Have no clue who, but thank you, because Charlie can now sleep again. But he did tell me this. Today's packing heat. If somebody touches that jacket, So, no, thank you for bringing it. We know those mistakes happen when you get a bunch hanging up. You grab a dark one. You're trying to gather your 15 kids. So, thank you for being a part of that dinner. It was a good time. Had a great group of people. We had a full house. And the spirit was awesome. The food, well, you know. Yeah, I didn't lose weight. And last week we started on Sunday morning to look at the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. Not leopards, but lepers. You know, men that were diseased, they were hopeless. And they had a disease that made them outcasts. If you open your Bible to Luke chapter 17, we're going to continue in that same story. These 10 men were hopeless because of their disease that could not be healed. And they could not be around other people. If you remember, if they're around anybody or anybody came within 150 feet of them, they're supposed to yell unclean. It wasn't private at all. The only people they could be with was other lepers, other people that were dying and suffering. They could have no more family time because they could be around nobody. They couldn't play with their own kids. They couldn't work. They could only beg from afar off, hoping somebody would drop a piece of bread or a cracker 150 feet away, and they could go pick it up after that person left. It was a miserable, horrible life. They had consistent pain. It was hard to breathe. Rotting skin or body parts that would disappear. Stench at all times, and they were seen as being cursed by God, so them and their families were rejected by society. This is horrible. These men's only hope was Jesus Christ. So when they saw him afar off, they started yelling. Remember what they yelled? Mercy. Mercy. They yelled out for mercy. But to receive a blessing that they wanted, the healing or actually the curing, the purifying of this disease, they would have to obey by faith the command of Jesus. But when they obeyed what Jesus told them to do, eventually they noticed that they were healed. We saw this disease was a picture of sin that destroys a man and ends in death. A sin that causes a man to be rejected by a holy God. And our only hope, because of our sin, is to obey the call of God. To place faith in the work of Jesus Christ. And allow His blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To wash away the leprosy, or the sin, if you will. And this is the greatest gift you and I have, is salvation. The cleansing that the blood of Christ has. You with me? The greatest blessing we can receive is the cleansing that Jesus gives when we obey His call. The question is, when we receive this salvation, what is our reaction? Is it one of entitlement? God owes this salvation to me. I deserve this salvation. Or is it one of forgetfulness? With our busy life, we ignore this blessing. We forget what we truly deserve because we just get busy. Is it one of dissatisfaction? Well, my life isn't what I want it to be. This just isn't fair. Again, forgetting what we do deserve is death and hell. Or is this the recognition of the salvation that Christ has given us, one that causes humility and worship? Recognition of the awesome love of a Savior who washed away what made us hopeless. In Luke chapter 17, I want to read last week's portion, but also add to it what we're going to look at this week. In Luke 17, go down to verse 11. And we're going to read a handful of verses, so follow with me. It says, and it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you would touch each one of us in a way that would wake us up to recognize the awesomeness of this gift, salvation. If there's someone here that's not truly placed faith in you and your work, that this could be a day of salvation. And Lord, I ask that you'd have your way, that you'd give me the words to say, that each one of us would make sure to humble ourselves and worship to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as we read through this story, it sure moves from a tragic beginning to a miraculous end. And the first thing I would like to look at is the blessing here that we talked about some last week. And you notice how many were healed? How many were healed? 10 people. 10 men. 10 men. They weren't healed on the spot, though. They didn't walk up to some pastor who shook his tie over their head and they went boom, boom, and they were better, right? They didn't go to some miracle preacher conference and go up on stage, and he said, be healed, boom, boom. And they fell back, and boom, they were healed. What they did is, and they approached Jesus, and he gave them words to be obedient to. They only received the blessing he wanted to give them after they obeyed. It first called them to obedience. They had to place their faith in what Jesus told them to do, and turn and go into the city to see the priest, which was illegal, first off. Second off, they were still sick when he told them to go. And so they had to place faith in him and go do what he told them to do. And suddenly, they started, as they're walking that way, they told Jesus, yes, sir. They turned. We don't know about any extra conversation, just what God wants us to know here. They turn to the city, and they're walking as 10 guys. We don't know what they're talking about. They're miserable. They stink. They're hurting. They can't breathe right. And I'm guessing maybe man number one saw his buddy's ear was back on his head. Hey, George. Hey, you can have an earring now. Can you imagine? What just happened here? This is weird. I'm guessing maybe the man number seven noticed, my sores are gone. Can you imagine? Okay. Let yourself go there a little bit. Start picturing this. These men were hopeless. Who knows how many years they've been locked into a little city where the only place they could live, begging for bread. Maybe man number two, notice his toes were reattached. Wow, I can walk straight again. And man number nine, notice, I'm taking normal breaths. Man number eight realized the pain is gone. Man, I've been living in pain all these years. Suddenly I can move and it doesn't hurt. And then they all probably stopped at once and went, the stench is gone. The rotting flesh is no longer stuck to us everywhere we go. So I want you to imagine that they probably dropped their crutches, threw their band-aids and wraps on the ground along with their bags of scraps that they've been picking up to survive. They probably started laughing, crying, celebrating, high-fiving, belly slaps. Who knows what they were doing? They're excited. They're screaming like a bunch of little girls. Hey, Bob, looky here. Can you imagine the excitement of their life? You with me? Some of y'all look bored to tears. Huh? Think of the excitement of their life. This is better than the Chiefs winning a football game. This is them getting their lives back. They're excited. We have hope. I'm not in pain. And they're just excited together. And what they do is they start planning the next steps in their life. Well, first off, we got to finish this trip to go see the priest because he's got to declare us clean. We're still illegal until the priest says that we are clean. And then there's even a certain amount of days after that. But let's go finish what we're supposed to do. But they're imagining, I'm going to go hug my sweetie again. Yeah? I was gone 15 days. My wife didn't go with me. When I came off the elevator here in Des Moines Airport, everybody else closed their eyes, you know what I'm saying? It was a hug. They had kisses planned. They're playing already in their minds, playing with their kids. They're holding their grandkids. They're going to get to work again. Now, I know that's kind of anti some of the new generational thought, not all. But working is important for a man to build his dignity, to be able to support his family. And you imagine him thinking, I can get a job again. Yes, someone will hire me, even if it's a dig ditches, I can feed my family. Because you see it building up in their lives, in their excitement. They start to live again. There is hope. But we see an exception here. All the men ran off to do those things that they waited for so long. How many of them were thankful? I want you to think about this. It's a trick question. How many of them were thankful? All of them were thankful. All of them were thankful for the healing, for the cleansing. All of them were thankful they're going to see their families play with their grandkids. All of them were thankful that they were going to get jobs, and now they have freedom again. But only nine of them forgot to bless her. All of them were thankful, but they forgot to bless her. They stayed focused on the blessing. See, this is a tendency we all have. It's very easy to get caught up with. We enjoy the blessing. We like getting healed. Amy and I left for Thanksgiving, man. We're coughing and hacking, and I'm not going to describe everything. It was just nasty. It's nice to start feeling good again, ain't it? We got some people from the church that are home sick. They're going to be thankful when they get to feeling good again. Some of y'all been in hospitals. It's good to see you back and out of the hospital. And we can be thankful for that. We've prayed for jobs before. And it's awesome when God provides a new job. And and maybe a marriage is restored. And man, how awesome that God answers prayers. But sometimes we get distracted from the blesser by keeping our eyes on the blessing. Romans chapter 1 speaks of this very thing, telling us that many will worship the creation instead of the Creator. It's very easy to get our eyes off of the blesser because we get busy with the blessing. Because we saw how many of the 10 went back to the source of the blessing. One. They were all thankful. Only one realized who he was grateful to. He must have stopped and realized how this happened. He's the one that really stopped and remembered, you know what? Just a little bit ago, we were yelling, have mercy on us, Jesus, Master. Just a little bit ago, we were hoping that he would listen to us, that he would value us amongst what all those religious people did, that he would invest in us, that everything we heard and that we saw would come true in our lives. So we yelled, mercy. And this one realized that when they trusted his words, they were obedient to him, Jesus gave the needed mercy. All 10 were thankful for the blessing and they were enjoying their blessings. So this one man stood alone. He stopped to praise the blesser, Jesus Christ. He alone stopped and recognized the healer, the purifier, the cleanser. Only one brought thanksgiving to the source. All celebrated thanksgiving, but only one worshiped the blesser. Does that make it a little more true to today? What a lesson that it doesn't matter what the masses do. 9 of them went and enjoyed the blessing. Oh, he doesn't care. He gave it to us. He wants us to run and go and enjoy it and go do whatever. We can sit in circles and let's say what we are thankful for. But do we stop and recognize the blesser? Do we come to him for praise and worship? It doesn't matter what the masses do. And you want a plot twist? Do you notice what verse 16 says this man is? He's a Samaritan. You might think, what's the big deal? There's a reason this man was pointed out specifically. Because he's sending these men to the priest, men that the other 9 were Jews. This man was not. He was a Samaritan. He only associated with the other 9 because they were lepers. They were unclean. They were rejects. They were cursed. The other 9 were the religious ones. He was not. The 9 religious Jews, when they were cleansed, did not show the same deep gratuity or recognition of the blesser. In other words, folks, don't follow church folks. Follow God's word. Bow to the Savior. Obey the word of the blesser, no matter what the rest in here do. Amen. If you bow before the throne of God alone, you bow before the throne of God alone. He is worthy of worship if you're by yourself. This man was alone and he still returned. The Samaritan did the right thing, even though 9 religious men did not. He came back to worship the blesser. Look at the blessing. Look at the worship. I want to break down some of the parts of the worship. The third part here is the worship. In verse 15, look at it there. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. You know, a loud voice. It's kind of funny because you look at the Greek words, loud voice. And I'm careful about doing that all enough because God's given us the English words. But the Greek words is this, megaphone. You know what word we get from that? Megaphone. You do not use a megaphone to whisper. You use a megaphone to make sure everybody hears, right? To get it loud, to proclaim. See, he worshiped with a loud voice. He was being loud, not secretive, not shy. Thank you, God. He's the one saying, hey, he answered my prayer request. He heard me cry for mercy. Let me tell you my testimony. God is good. He might be the one that annoys you. Shh, that's not how we do it in church. You're not singing on key. I don't even know what key is. Okay, so my wife keeps using words like tone and key and stuff like that. I know radio. But with a loud voice, he made it known. And then it says he fell down on his face. Oh, that's a sign of deep humility, of brokenness. It's a recognition of who is before you. He fell on his face because he received what he knew he didn't deserve. He received mercy and grace. He knew he was not worthy to receive what he just received. And so he demonstrated such by humbling himself before the blesser. I don't care what anybody else thinks right now. I'm putting my face in the dirt. I'm bowing down before you because you are awesome, God. He wasn't the one in church saying, I'm going to sing quiet. Jesus loves me this soon. Don't want anybody to hear me. No, he's the one that I could care less than anybody else in the room. Because remember, he's going to do it alone. He's going to do it when you're there too. And he's worshiping. He falls on his face. And what does he do? It says he gives him thanks. He was appreciative. See, before enjoying the blessing and running off to do the things he wants to do, he took time to realize, the blesser has allowed me this hope, this freedom. So he honored the blesser. See, when we truly see the blessing of God and recognize the source, we shouldn't be shy about it. Remember, we are these lepers. We were cleansed from the sinfulness. We were hopeless. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We're made alive again. We are set free. Should we not act like he did? Should we not worship like he did? You see, just like him, we shouldn't be shy about our worship to God. Now, we're not doing it to get attention. But we're also not worried about what people think when I'm in obedience to God. Worship does not mean just singing. Worship means to obey, to bow down to the one in authority. We don't whisper to Jesus. We give thanks according to the measure of the gift, don't we? Example, ever notice a kid receiving a gift at Christmas? You give him a pair of underwear. You know, a 10-year-old kid. He opens up that bag of Fruit of Looms. You're the teenagers, yeah? Your favorite gift on Christmas, yeah? I got quiet back there, yeah. Yeah, Coop's like, yeah, sure, if you say so. He's like, I didn't want people to know I have underwear. But what do they do when a teenager opens up underwear at Christmas? They're like, he's going to hide them. Thanks. It's not that big of a gift, right? I remember getting them as a teen. Sorry I teased you because I could use myself as an example. I remember somebody in Brazil giving that's very popular. It doesn't have to be your parents. And I'm like, oh, bright red, thank you. And I was I'm stunned. You got, it's secretive. But give him that big thing that he's been wanting for years, whether it used to be a bicycle, now it's like a video game or something. Yeah? You remember? You give him that, and what happens? Is he going to be shy about it? No. It's like, yeehaw! I remember getting a guitar when I was a teenager, and I was given that guitar. It was like, yes! Ripping it open. I'm pretending I had a clue what I was doing, and I'm strumming and making noise. Everybody could hear. I'm telling my friends I've got a guitar now. There was an excitement. I got PlayStation 1 in 1999. It was exciting. Yeah, why are you laughing? I mean, that was the good old days when they got the contemporary games and Street Fighter. Oh! But anyway, some of y'all too old to understand that. But there was an excitement about that gift. You with me? You see the difference? Is when it's a gift we're excited about, we want all to know we got it. We're going to give thanks in a loud way. See, this man that returned to Jesus Christ, he understood the depth of Jesus' love. Let me say that again. He understood the depth of Jesus' love. He understood the importance of the gift. He's seen the high price Jesus paid for him. That's you and I. Do you see the depth and the expense that Jesus Christ went through to save you from your sins? Are you excited about that? Or are you just like, okay, let's hide this one. Nobody needs to know I have this gift. No. That's not true gratefulness. This man knew the dangers from which he was rescued. He's not going to whisper his gratefulness. He's going to shout for joy. He's going to announce God's goodness. King David said this in Psalms 35, 27, 28. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servants. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. What else does the psalm say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're redeemed of the Lord. You place your faith in Jesus Christ who purchased you by his blood. And you're supposed to say so. God is good. God has saved me from what I deserved. He has purified me by his blood. Do you remember from last week, you and I are these leprous men being destroyed and separated and killed by sin. We're desperate and hopeless in our sins, and there's only one way that we can have hope, and that's to be cleansed from this condition. By the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And all he requires of you and I is to obey his word, to have faith in him. He calls us to himself. And once you recognize your need for him, he tells us to place faith in him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, when your faith builds up and you shout out to him, he says, thou shalt be saved. That is a great big deal because there's nothing you had to do for it. He did all the work. If you have called out to Jesus for mercy and placed faith in his person and his work, you're now clean. He's wiped away the leprosy from you. And guess what? He is the high priest that he says go to because he's going to declare you pure. Understand? Priests in the Old Testament are just a picture of the high priest that Hebrews tells us is Jesus Christ. Remember, he told these guys, go to the priest and he will declare you clean. What does Jesus say? That if you come to him, there's no condemnation in you. He says he declares you clean by faith in him. Woo! Isn't this awesome? You see the great work of God? So if you've come to Jesus Christ by faith, you now have hope. Hope in Scripture is confidence because you know of the work of Jesus. If you come to Jesus Christ, you now have eternal life. Remember, these guys had no hope. They're broken. You now have an eternal home in glory. You have, now check this out. If you're in Christ, you now have work. You have dignity. You have purpose in your life because he's given you the great commission to go and tell others, to make him known. Don't walk away like the nine men who forgot to bless her. Don't be distracted by the blessing. Any blessing that distracts you from obedience to God, you with me? Any blessing that distracts you from obedience to God is a curse. Many times I've told teens, you got a job, making you work every Sunday. Is that a blessing? It's pulling you away from your walk with Christ. You got that brand new truck, it's really nice. But you have more fun than that, and you're forgetting about obedience to God. Any blessing that distracts you from the blesser becomes a curse. And if you've placed faith in Jesus Christ and you call on him for salvation, let us pause and remember that we get to praise him out loud. Not in a shy way. Let's praise him out loud. Right here in this room, we build each other up, praising together, worshiping God together. Some in here just need an encouragement. And being in here with other people that are going to praise God is encouraging with some of the stuff we're going through in our lives. And this should be the haven of comfort. We can come and encourage each other. And then we go out and we shine in darkness. How do you smile in hard times? Because my joy isn't on the exterior. My joy comes from my walk with Christ. Which you can't steal from me with circumstances. So we praise him out loud. We proclaim his righteousness. We sing about his holy name out loud. And what does this mean? It means we live a life of faith. We come back to him. We humble ourselves before him. We worship him. We're obedient to his word. We're witness of his goodness. We're faithful to his relationship. We're grateful to his blessing. And then we truly have an attitude of thanksgiving. Being a thankful person doesn't mean you have a great Thanksgiving party. It means your eyes are open to see all God has done, is working, and that you trust in he's working it all together for good. And with that attitude of thanks, you allow him to keep using you. And when you allow him to keep using you, you will see the blessing. Now, it doesn't mean we enjoy all of them the way he uses. But if you're a child of God, the greatest blessing is to see him use your life for his glory. Your hard circumstance to draw someone to him. And that's our goal, isn't it? Are you thankful for the salvation he's given to you? So what are we told to do with it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You tell one more person, let people know where I received the hope. Would you stand with me?